We ready?
Yep.
We're on. Call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:46 on the clock for Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann, and Lytle will be gone all day. Consent agenda. One is a general agenda. Two is approved minutes of meeting held December 6, 2017. Three, approve all claims through December 20th of 2017 in the amount of $554,768.65, except claim number 17122011 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $221 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved reappointing John McKeever to another term on the Board of Variance. Approve utility permit number 1086 to Diller Telephone will be boring and plowing in 5 miles of fiber line 5 foot to 10 foot deep on private property along county right of way. Will bore 3 inch diameter 5 foot deep under county and township roads encased in a 1¼-foot smooth walled pipe. That should be inch. We're going to change that here. It needs one little more asterisk up there.
That's my little mark.
Well, yeah, there's one mark, but not two, because I go a 1¼-foot diameter pipe. I don't know if they're going to
bore that. Two's an inch.
Yeah. Wall pipe to provide service to residents along the 5 miles. Vaults will be placed at each end of the mile along inside of county right-of-way. Project will start at West Sycamore Road and go north on east side of the road to the west. PWF Road, located in the northeast, southeast, 4th, section 12, and... Oh, boy.
Section 1 also.
And Section 1. Okay, read that wrong. Section 12 and Section 1 of Township 1 North 5, Range 5 East. The northeast, southeast, 4th of Section 36, 24, and 25, Township 2 North, Range 5 East. The northwest, southwest, 4th of Section 6 and 7, Township 1 North, Range 6 East. And the northwest, southwest, 4th of Section 19, 30, and 31, Township 2 North and Range 6 East. Entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann. Anything else? Otherwise, vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 17120110 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $221. Total amount of claims approved through 12/20 of 2017 is $554,989.65.
I would move to approve claim number 17120110.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Buildings and ground, winter lights. Dave?
Mr. Jones, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When I came to the meeting on Monday, I didn't really think I had very much, but I did have just a lot of small items, and we had discussion on some other things. I'll start out with... Mike Fagler, architect for designing the plan over at the Sallyport area. The question was brought up whether we need the architectural stamp on this. And I talked to Rob at the city building, and he said on the remodel of the building, not necessarily, would just have to get permits. He recommended that we still should go through an architect. Sometimes it's hard for bidders to bid on something without it, and so he recommended it. He said we would need one for sure for the grading and the entrance coming in and that, so we would at least for the outside
For the outside, we would, but the inside, maybe not.
Right, yeah.
What about the fire marshal? We had some kind of discussion even about what do they need for...
Right, and I have not talked to the fire marshal yet. Get a hold of him and see what he says, but...
Do you remember then the discussion with Fakler was that the plans he has drawn up are... Would that meet the approval, or will that qualify for the stamp, or where are we at with that, I guess?
Yes. And this is as far as I know that he has talked to the city and stuff, and that has all been approved. What he's working on now is to just the bid specs to go out for bid so everybody's on the same page with what is needed.
Does he get anything in writing from the city approving that, Dave?
I can't answer that question.
Or is it all verbal?
He'll have to get a stamp. What they do is they turn the plans in, and then the city will stamp reviewed and approved.
The city will.
The city will have to stamp that.
That's what I thought, but I hadn't seen those. So.
But I don't think he's done that yet, has he?
Not that I know of, no. I know he's had discussion with them on as far as what we can do there. And so that's why I would think that what the plan that he has drawn up has been approved already. Rob was familiar with the plan already when I went down there. So I can talk to the fire marshal and follow up with that.
Okay, that'd be good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The property at 619 Washington, I did call Ron from Bachman to do an asbestos abatement on that, and he actually was coming down yesterday, so he actually did an inspection on it yesterday. So we'll hear back on how those tests come back.
So if that comes back okay, or depending on that outcome, we can maybe at our next meeting put it on the agenda to bid that out.
Right. And we walked through there; it actually looks pretty clean. It's been updated. There was no wrapping on any pipes or anything. There's not a lot of tile flooring or anything. So hopefully it's.
When you walk through it, the other house we had over here, we allowed people to come in and kind of bid on some taking some whatever out of it. Is this one worth that or not? Or
I would recommend it. I did have several people ask me what we were going to do, and the inside, all of that old original Victorian woodwork had been removed at one time. It's modern mop board and stuff like that, so that's not of any value. The porch itself, the corbels and the railings and stuff like that, I think that's where I had some people asking about that, so...
Do you think we can put that on the agenda with when we call for bids, put that on the agenda that we could do that with a house because we'll still have approximately a month there for them to go in and look and take stuff out because whoever's ever going to bid on tearing down the house, they aren't going to care whether there's stuff in it or not.
No.
Yeah. So we can maybe include that on the agenda too to approve doing that.
Of course, there could be somebody who would bid to tear it down that wants to take those things out of it. That's part of their bid too. So if I was tearing down a house, I would look at the stuff that I could save.
But the guy sitting beside you, if he's looking at tearing down a house, he's wanting to know if the backhoe can reach high enough. No, I hear you, though, and I don't know. I mean, there probably isn't that type of stuff to be saved in there, is there? Or?
Not really. When we did the other house, there was more of the original woodwork, which really like to have when they're restoring a house and stuff. But this one, as far as the interior, there really wasn't much. There's a fairly new furnace downstairs also, so I mean that would be
I guess we could put on the agenda to approve allowing someone to go through, and if they'd like to bid on something, they can submit a quote. Right, Roger?
We can do that. Like the last time, I know it took up a lot of your time, didn't it?
It did. I would like to.
Just be fair about it.
Yeah, and I guess one thing would be nice would be to shorten that span of where people can come in and get it.
Well, once we approve it, we can set a time limit of a week or 2 weeks on it, and then it would still be plenty of time for people to inspect it in case they wanted to bid on it, tear it down, and wanted something in there. They'd know what's in there.
Right.
We can limit it to you. We'll have that conversation next time at our meeting and limit it to maybe a week or something. I don't know.
We can put in there that if they make it an offer that they have X amount of hours, 48 hours or however many hours.
Once their offer is accepted.
Once we accept it, they have to have to remove it or it's...
Yeah, we can put that in there so that it doesn't take your time up because that's... Okay.
Well, he doesn't have anything to do anyway. So.
No, he doesn't.
That's what
and
he told
I didn't. Me. I didn't mind doing it, but I was getting quite a few phone calls on just people asking questions, and then they would ask if they could meet me at a certain time. So, but we did get. I think it was close to $1,000.
We did last time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the buck is a buck.
Yeah. We'll have that on the agenda the next time for that.
Can we have something where if somebody does get a bid to take some junk out, they have to sign some disclaimer where we're not liable as a county for that, for them getting hurt?
I'll have to look.
That's always the biggest thing is liability.
On that the last time. I'll look and see.
We had a form or something that they
had to sign.
We'll see if we can find
some. That's great if they can get some stuff out of there. You can get hurt taking things out of the building.
You can, yeah.
And it's our property now. We're allowing them to do it.
Yes.
There's actually a hole in the floor, so it's not perfectly safe over there.
Take the quick way down.
Yes, yes. The cameras should be finished up today. They installed a portion of them, and then they were gone on yesterday, so they should finish up today.
They're going to wait for after our meeting to do this one?
Hopefully, as soon as you guys get out of here, they'll be in here. And I talked to Brian. He's really impressed with the clarity of the pictures. Yeah, so that.
We'll hurry up and get out of here as fast as we can.
Okay.
Well, Dave, I'll just make this comment. It'll be 5 and 8 and 10 years down the road when we'll find out whether or not the quality's still there, because this is the last company we had. They started out okay, but once we started having to have repairs, then it was
right. And that's what will be so nice with this one. I've always been able to run the cabling. That's usually the most costly thing. And then if a camera is only $250, if somebody feels like we need a camera somewhere, it shouldn't be a very big issue.
Oh, good.
So that'd be nice. About the last thing I have, I have been talking to Echo. Our floodlights are, they got to be about 20 years old now, and they are showing some wear. And the past here lately, the Echo has been asking me if we would be interested in switching over to LED lights, which actually is a brighter bulb that pushes through a colored filter to give us that nice amber look. And I asked him. He didn't have a whole lot of information yet, so this is still just up for discussion. He said that there's one style. It was a model number 200. The savings per year from switching from a high-sodium or high-pressure sodium to these LEDs would save $110 in electrical cost per lamp per year. And then the other, that is a larger unit, would save about $60 per lamp per year. And when I talked to Rob at Echo, he said they're really excited. They'd love to see us put this here to kind of be a showcase for the new style of lighting that they have. So he said that they'd sharpen their pencils and try and get us a good deal on it. And
good. Since it'd be a good advertisement for them, they should just donate it to the county.
I would like to see them do that.
You can mention, tell them that I said that.
I will tell them.
Did you talk to the city by chance to see if there's any rebate program on the electric?
I went down and talked to Robin. I forgot to ask.
We might check on that.
Substantial. Because we did get some credits, in the past with even when we switched to LEDs on the Christmas lights, we got credit on that even. So, do that.
Do we need something on the agenda to approve this, or this is something that
I would think it's still up just for discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
I asked.
What I meant was their next meeting, or you're going to come back with more information.
I will, yeah. One thing I'm working on, I told them we really need to have one hooked up so we can see exactly what it looks like. He said, as a rule, they don't do that unless there's 30 of them ordered. We only need 12. And I said, we really need to see what it looks like before we do this. I'm real curious to see what the color looks like, and then the autism, when we turn the lights blue in April, even though that's not a county project, it's funded. JT's always done that. But he could get the blue lenses for that and put those on And I want to make sure that that blue really shines up. And they're saying it will. And, you know, we've always, it's so nice to turn it blue in the springtime, but it really doesn't look the best. And JT and I talked about better ways of doing it, and it just, you cannot do it with those high-pressure sodium bulbs. So I'm excited to see what this looks like. And like I say, I mean, these are, they got to be close to 20 years old, and they are, they're still working, but they are showing quite a bit of age, so move forward with that. I'll have more information next time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Now, I kid Dave, but nobody puts in more time or spends more effort on this building than David Jones. He is dedicated to this building, and thank you. And his staff as well, they're great.
Equalization.
No.
Nothing. Finance and insurance.
I'll give you the, excuse me, the big claims. Beatrice Area Solid Waste Agency, $26,501. City of Beatrice Victims Assistant, quarterly EMS and probation and rent, $68,550. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, $20,243. Rock on Hauling, gravel only, $95,43. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $18,818.
Anything else for finance? Insurance? If not, employee relations?
Done.
Law enforcement, emergency management. And you've got a report later you're giving, but.
Yeah, I'll just real quick, Gary wanted a couple things we had in committee.
Okay.
One was he wanted to recognize the two that were retiring.
Oh, yes.
Deputy Joe Bolzano was with me part-time from 2013 to 2016, and he handed in his resignation, and that was effective 16th of this month, and he's retired now. He said 40 hours in corrections and law enforcement is enough, and I couldn't probably disagree with that.
40 years.
Yeah. Richard Monfell, he was with us from 2004 to 2014, a full-time deputy. He went to part-time, did some work for us at the courthouse for a while, and he figured that he'd been had enough, and so he is going to retire the end of this month. So I think those two guys. Part-time has been a big part of our office, and we're going to miss him because it's going to jack my overtime up.
So are they... Just
they're done.
Cutting it off.
They're cutting it off. They are done. They are not going to be there for me again. They made it very clear.
Not even for one day to come
no,
back?
No. Nope.
They don't want to start that because it'll be more than one day? Or
yeah. They're just done with it. The other thing was I talked to you about that ACH grant for the jail medical. I think because of issues probably across country because they do a lot of jails, they're putting options out there. Right now we have 4 LPN hours over here at the jail, and they were recommending the option go to I believe it was 8, I think it was. And
well, if I read that right, it was 8 one week and 4 the other week.
Well, there's two things there. There's the mental health portion too, and then there's LPN hours. It went from 4 to 8 for that, and then every other, I think about 4 hours for mental health.
Okay.
Just counseling every other week or every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How do they count that, Sheriff? Is there somebody here in town? Or
no. They usually contract with people they can find wherever. Sometimes they're traveling. Our doctors, they go through them like crazy, like anything else does. Go through them. But they can be from out of state even. They try to get people close in the area you're at. Mental health professional, they didn't say it'd be a master's level or above. What they would do would come in and just the issues, we have mental health in there so much, they'd come in and just simply, they need to be talking to somebody that can talk to them.
Is that an on-call or that's just as they...
That would be, they'd be around. Set up 4 hours to come in. Just they'd pray routinely so the guys would know, today we're doing church services, tomorrow we're having mental health counseling, that's the day you want to put out your kite to come and see them. We still will use TASC, of course that's free out of Lincoln. For the emergency stuff, we need it right away, and they come down or get on the phone right away. So, I think the difference was, I have it down here somewhere. currently at $34,158.55 just for 4 hours of LPN. Proposed was taken up to $44,167.70, and that was for additional LPN hours and mental health. Now, the difference is just a smidge over $10,000. And it just being a line we have set aside for medical stuff from the jail. So,
if you go over the time allotted now, you're still paying for it somewhere else, I assume, if you go over your LPN, the time that's allowed.
Yes, they'll charge you for it then, if they have to come in. Yeah. If it's something that can't wait, the protocol is they'll probably make you go to the hospital if it's that big a deal.
But, I mean, are you doing that now where you're going over and you're having to pay for it anyway?
You know, I don't know, Eric. I have to go back and see. That might be one of the reasons why they might have suggested more hours, because we are using it more often. The more population you have, the more issues you're going to have like that, and they deal with that. And then, of course, you know, I told you before that there's been some issues out there that they might make us go to RN hours instead of LPN because they want a higher level of care. I think some courts are pushing that a little bit, so that'll be a whole different ballgame, too, on costs. But so I just want the board to be aware. I'm looking at doing that. I think mental health is a big plus, and it's much cheaper doing this in-house with a nurse than every time I'm going to the hospital or clinic. So,
how does that deal with those individuals that we get who are addicts and are sentenced, and you have them come into the jail? You know they're addicts. They come out of the court. How do we deal with that?
Well, lots of times they'll put their requests in, we call them kites, or staff will catch it. We won't let them in if they're tweaking that bad. They have to get medical clearance before they'll come in. If not, more than likely they'll go to D&E up in Lincoln where they got an infirmary to take care of them.
That's what I thought we would do, but
yeah,
I
if
wanted to make
bad.
Absolutely
yeah.
certain.
If it's any question at all anymore, they go to infirmary and I just pay that $90 a day. It's far cheaper than what we have to go through if somebody tries to kill themselves or gets it completed in jail. Otherwise, there's protocol in place for them. They have a manual that tells them what to do. They would probably call the doctor or nurse. Here's what he's doing. He's not doesn't meet the threshold to go to D&E or get turned away, but then they'll start looking what kind of medication he has. Sometimes we have ability to talk to family, see what the situation is with him. And they'll start regulating, and a lot of times they'll take them completely off what they come in with, and the doctor will start doing his own thing. And it saves a lot of money, but it causes a lot of concern for family. But I assured them that they're all doctors, and I'm not going to overrule on a doctor. And sometimes they'll confer with a local doctor.
Well, we have an issue of liability also, and
absolutely.
We need to deal with that.
Yep. So, otherwise, they've been a pretty good company to work with. So,
well, with all the drug issues that we've had here, unfortunately, in Beatrice and Gage County, we definitely need to be aware of that and dealing with it and be sensitive to that.
Absolutely.
And to the needs of those individuals to try to get them back on their feet.
Well, they're still people. You know, sometimes they don't act like when they come in, but we still got to work with them. So, absolutely. Okay.
Road and Bridge. Or anything else for law enforcement? Nope. Road and Bridge.
On the agenda today is to close, accept, or approve bids on three culvert projects. Dirt crew finished shoulder work on PDFBF on Friday. The Adams Northwest Federal Aid Bridge tentatively bid letting could be moved from 118 of 18 again. Had discussion on state bid for Galen's pickup. It would be a new pickup. His pickup would go down to the mechanic shop. On our bridge match program, I brought this up at the Galen's workshop. This last go-around, I think there was $28 million in proposed project throughout Nebraska. And there's only $4 million to go around. So they're that short-funded on that type of stuff. Fracture-critical bridges, the other thing on that. Gage County has 66 fracture-critical bridges. The state, back in 2007, took over the inspection of those. Well, now they're going to give that back to us with probably some higher standards to go by. And a fracture-critical bridge is a bridge, truss bridge or something, where if any part of that bridge fails, it goes down. So that's why they're
the bridge
closing.
Is closed. They don't go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We had one up just south of Zion Church there. North of Zion Church here this fall that happened, that it was closed for a period of time and stuff. So, but part of what our discussion was there was that Right now, we can't even use the soft match what that increase in cost will be. We do have two people in our department, you and another one, that are qualified or have the training for that.
Yeah, there's myself and two others that are actually...
Yourself and two others that can qualify for that, but then that will be... The state was picking up that cost the last few years for that. And now that's something that will be put on the counties or whatever.
Right.
Or proposed in a way. It's not necessary.
Yes.
Couple other things, and I think Galen mentioned about yet that we've, and I forgot to write some of this stuff down, we're still hauling on some county roads, we're still hauling some gravel because of the fall we've had and able to get some product out there that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been. So.
One thing I want to say about that, there was some material hauled in Glenwood Township material. The quality is probably the best I've ever seen. I mean, there's a lot of coarse material in it. Unless they're cleaning it better, we'll get into a different vein. I mean, this is good material we're getting here now, too.
And then are we done with the townships then, Galen?
As far as I know, we haven't got billed for the last part of it, but he should be done with it, yes.
But for the 2017 year, we've actually hauled all the gravel for the townships in the 2017 year, so, which... I know we've talked a lot about that we've been behind a lot and stuff, and we made a concerted part of what we did this year was made a concerted effort to catch up with that, and due to a lot of, I guess, them hiring maybe some extra help and some other things that we've done with the bidding process and stuff, we were able to get that done this year. So just thank everybody for doing that. So anything else for Road and Bridge? Emergency management. I skipped over Lisa. I had the law enforcement, but didn't have emergency management.
All right. So. I just want to do a quick thing. Brian Davison and myself met this morning. As my understanding is, you're required to have some employee training and that sort of thing. And so we have the opportunity, as they looked at the court docket and so forth, next Wednesday, we would like to have a training on de-escalation and also confrontation for our employees. From 4 to 5, next Wednesday from 4 to 5. So with your permission, we'd like to be able to close down the courthouse for that 1 hour period of time so that we can have a training of that. So, and the reason, again, is because for the shortness is just because of the way the court dockets look. So we'll get that information out. So we're looking at the December 27th.
Yeah,
from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock that the courthouse would be closed. For training, so I'll get you guys an official notice, but that's what we would like to do if I'm talking with you guys. So as far as emergency management and zoning, I know we're going to have the towers and you know, everything's moving along fairly smoothly. So we're working with the comp plan for the zoning sort of it. So we're going to be we had the commission met. So I think, John, you were there. We still struggle a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and we got that map fine-tuned, and we're going to try to get going on that with Hannah Keelan again to get them our recommendations and then get something back so the commission can review. So I continue on emergency management side just to reach out within the community. I would say this last week I met with Norris Public Power and just looking over just the emergency side and getting a better idea of you know, how much it costs per mile should we have a disaster happen and those sorts of things. So, but yeah, you're welcome to stop down anytime you want. So we'll wait for the Blue Springs Tower to come up and we answer some questions. Yes.
Out at Kearney, I remember I made notes and I text you.
I know.
We were talking to Merle, I can't think of his last name, from Fillmore County. They have that new ammonia plant going in Geneva, and then they also have the fuel.
Diesel.
Well, they have the fuel
storage
tanks out there. They were asking about, in emergencies, how do they deal with that, who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been in contact with them some, but I thought I'd catch you sometime and maybe go out and visit with Flint Hills and E-Energy Adams and then... There's ever any of those plants or different facilities in the county, there's usually going to be one of us you could grab if you want and run out there and talk to them too, just so you have, you know, some rapport with them.
I have reached out, just started reaching out to them. I have met with the Enterprise Pipelines and gone through that tour with Mike Yoakum, so, and getting a better idea of what kind of products they're shipping. He's letting us know kind of on a regular basis what type of products they're running through the line every 2 weeks or so. And so, yes, I reached out to Brian Dakey, and I have the contact people for their safety officers, so I'll get that schedule probably for after the first of the year. So that would be great.
With all the issues on the pipeline, is there any issue that we're going to have? Is that pipeline going to go through Gates County anywhere?
I'm not sure.
I think
that.
They're realigning it or doing something.
But I don't think our part of the state's getting realigned. It's staying the same.
It's going right beside the other one in part of the state, but I don't know where it all
is. I think pretty much from the interstate south, it's right along the other one.
The sheriff will be out keeping the peace.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. We'll have you later because we do have a timed event at 9:15, and it's 9:16 on the clock. Entertaining a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for culvert project C-341114, C-341115, and C-341117. Entertain a motion, I guess, to close bids.
Move to close.
Second.
A motion by Hill, second by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor. And this is on three culvert projects. You want to talk a little bit about them, Galen, or not, or they're that we're going to put in this summer?
These are three culvert projects. One of them is located North 33 Sherman. It is twin 84-inch by 41-foot culverts. It's going to replace a 20-by-20 timber bridge. 1115 is north of 26 Sherman. It's also twin 84-inch by 40-foot culverts. We'll be replacing a 20-by-20 timber bridge. And 1117 is located in east of 25 Paddock. It's a 30-foot long by 20-foot wide. It's triple 72-inch by 43-foot culverts. And all three of these sites will have steel head walls on them.
Okay.
Yep.
This bid is from Contact Engineered Solutions, LLC. I'll give them to you individually. Total for 1114, $20,902. 1115, $20,440. And 1117, $25,228.50. Total for project, $66,570.50.
What was the 25 what?
228.50.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
This one is from Metal Culverts Incorporated. Okay, 1114, $23,149.80. 1115, $21,372. 1117, $28,320.05.
There's no total.
Was there a total on there?
Total. $72,841.85.
Midwest Service and Sales Company, 1114-23,819.42, 1115-21,245.64, 1117-28,857.78, total for project, 73,922.84.
That's it.
One more?
Yep.
Ace Irrigation and Manufacturing Company. 1114-22,860. 1115-21,400. 1117-25,565. Total for project, 69,825. Byron, if I could, I'd like to have Galen review these and come back later in the meeting with a recommendation.
We need that a motion.
No. We'll have Galen review those and come back later, and then we'll reject or award the bids later and stuff. So if you want to change, stay around, you sure can. If not, you can get in touch with Galen later, however you saw the bids to or whatever and stuff. But thank you for bidding and any of the others that bid. We're sure appreciative when we have multiple bidders like that. Thank you much. So. Next on the agenda, Gus presenting third quarter report for Sheriff's Office, Jail, and Screening Station.
Okay, everybody should have copies. I handed out to you earlier before the meeting started. We'll start with screening. Again, like Myron said, it's third quarter of 2017. Screening Station was staffed 63 days in the third quarter. We had 3,740 patrons go through the screening station. 598 cell phones were brought to the floor. 61 cutting and stabbing instruments were found, 9 pepper spray canisters, a loaded handgun magazine, a coup-baton, and a handcuff key were found.
What's a coup-baton?
A little short knife stick. A lot of times you used to put it, it's an older thing, put on keychains lots of times. We had 243 inmates were brought to the courthouse. We had 7 were arrested on outstanding warrants. 7 people remanded into custody. We had 9 misdemeanor warrants were made. The assisted corrections with 11 inmate transports. We had 3 civil service papers served while they were here on the floor. And courthouse staff attended suicide prevention training facilitated by Christina Lyons. On the sheriff's office side, we had 1,957 calls for service. That's up a little. We had 72 accidents. 78 citations, 332 warnings, 199 arrests, 8 burglary thefts, 34,077 approximately in loss solved. We're still working on that, Eric. That's we got to get some of that stuff. We got to get captured through history, through the state, and then also just trying to get time to go down and figure out what everything's worth. But as you know, we're recovered a lot of things. It's just getting time to do that. So it'll be there at some point. The papers served were 209. Warrants served are 121. We earned fees of $2,645. Mileage was $3,069.43. $26.75 for copies made. Nothing for distress warrants collected in full, and as well as nothing partial pay. $3,240 in title inspection fees. 62,889 miles driven for patrol. 1,857 miles driven for transports. We had $6,482.01 reimbursed back to us from grants. No meth labs, 6 drug violations, no mileage for reserves, 24 reserve hours. We had 358 billing checks, and of those, 4 were found open.
Yes, let's go back a minute to the patrol units miles driven for transport. That's other than our transport van.
That is right.
Saying.
This is deputies making arrests and bringing or filling in for us in a jam.
If we had to. But
yes, just strictly deputies. Yep, that is correct.
On citations, that's...
official written citation. Well, that could be a little better thing.
But that would be
assault, citation, anything with a citation.
Any reason that's up over double since first quarter, or is that normal in third quarter?
Just busy. Yeah, just like everything else.
No new hire or something?
Do I?
No new hire or something?
No. There's a lot of things out there, and that just isn't all traffic. So just sometimes you can give a citation for a criminal offense. So it's a little bit of everything. No, we're not spending all the time out there running LIDAR radar. Don't worry about that, Tiemann.
Checking.
You worry too much. All right. For bookings, total bookings in the third quarter for the jail was 174, had 67 males, 130 females, 145 were felonies, 17 were misdemeanors, and 140 miscellaneous others. Sheriff's Office had 83 of those arrests. Police Department had 3. Wymore had 5. State Patrol had 5, excuse me. Drug arrests, we didn't have that listed. We're still in the same problem in the area, trying to get the jamming program through the jail and the state to get those captured for us. Alcohol arrests were 21. Our average population was 40. Our high and low was 42 and 45, respectively. We had
42 and 55.
Well, I'd say 55. Excuse me, 55. We had no outside prisoner income. We had $360 for fingerprints that were taken. We had $1,901.24 for inmate phone usage. Had a commission of $1,000.25. Commissary was $54,490.38.
No, that's
a line off here
line.
Again. Commissary commission. No, I'm off a line. You're right. Commissary commission. $1,025 for commissary commission.
Making $54,000 on the commissary over there or something.
Yeah, $54,490.38 is for outside prisoner holds.
Yeah, we need
more prisoners. That sounds more like it. Transport vans for prisoners miles was $14,442. General care and emergency medical was $28,280.74. Vision cost was $213.33. And dental, there was nothing for dental, for a total of $28,494.07 for medical.
How come our commissary commission income is so far down?
Well, some of that is population came down a little bit. It could have been, but you never know. If they come in and don't have money to buy anything, Dennis, then they don't buy anything. If they're indigent, then they only get the very basics. Commissary B, if they want some more goodies, that's on their own.
Because, I mean, it's thousands of dollars down.
Yep. Just depends what you got in there. Yep. Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Sheriff,
yes.
On the drug arrest, there isn't anything listed for second and third quarter. What did you say that was?
Well, we're trying to get it. We've got to get that stuff captured through the state.
We just don't have the information. There are drug arrests being made.
Trying to get all that stuff, figuring out how to get it captured so we can put it down here.
Because you actually had...
We had several this last
year. You had a lot of drug activity this last quarter. And actually, this year, you've had a lot of drug arrests.
Yeah, and there's probably two pages of... different kinds of drugs you could categorize it under. That's why it's taken so long to figure out.
But the good thing is they are coming in.
Yeah, we're getting
bad
things.
Yeah.
The other day we had seven come in on one.
Yeah, just on one. Denny asked on here, Lieutenant, on commissary commission, why it's down so much, you know, is this population?
It depends on how much they spend.
Yeah. It's up to them, so. Yep. Anything else?
Nothing I can think
of
right now. I'll call you later.
Suggestions from the public, not so much, and our board thought of it one time, the bus stop, if there's extra inventory left over there,
and
he doesn't
take it,
do the inmates get to partake in that?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that stuff.
I've heard a lot of that, too, yeah.
All right, thank you.
That's going to the sheriff's department, the highway department Christmas party, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it is, probably, yeah.
Entertain a motion to place on file third quarter sheriff's report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Juergens. Vote 6-0 in favor. Next, discussion on Blue Springs Tower and approve or disapprove the purchase of repeaters.
I'll just give an overview and then if that's okay, then these guys will also come up. I'll just kind of bring everybody up to speed if you weren't at the committee meeting. But had it become apparent that we had some safety issues and some issues with the Blue Springs Tower. And so from that point, Carla and Doug Osterhaus were notified, and they actually presented some ideas to the committee. And so they're here with some alternatives and some best methods for us to get the project fixed. Within your, what I have given you is a copy of the inspection. The last inspection made done by Allstate Tower that we're aware of, and obviously there's history between through time about the tower that I don't all know the history, and you guys do. So, but this is the last inspection that was done, and from that I'm going to turn it over to Doug and Carla, and then they're going to give us some alternatives of what we can do right now to get this project fixed. So.
Doug or Carla or both of you, you can sure both come up if you'd like or however. Because part of what we did at committees was ask you to come back with some rough cost estimates and maybe some thoughts or how to proceed or maybe make sure we have coverage, I guess.
Well, and I would like to clarify, too, that until Monday morning, we have had no reports since June of any radio issues between us and Wymore or Philly. So that was, and I did check with dispatch, and they're until Monday morning.
Well, but it, part of what report. They talked about was some of it was they, out in the field they weren't having the coverage.
Right, well, but I don't think that that stems from the antenna is all I'm.
Oh, okay.
Because we have not, I have a hard time believing that if from the storm until now, there was coverage issues that we wouldn't have heard it about it in dispatch because I checked with everybody until Monday morning. I just wanted to clarify that.
But the antenna's still flopping.
Well, no, it's leaning. It's leaning. It's flopping, but it's leaning, yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to say I have not witnessed it. I think there were some assumptions made there that through conversations with a number of people, Mark being one of them, that, you know, was leaning one way, but it seems like the coverage pattern changes, and I think it was assumed that that's probably because it's changing in its orientation.
Okay.
So, like I said, that's, I wouldn't swear to that.
Well, and I'll just make the comment. Gary commented, too, you know, we weren't as a board aware of any coverage issues either, and part of what we did at the committee meeting, some of that was brought up, so we have that discussion and then see how we can proceed. So.
Right. It certainly would have been addressed earlier. There, if I would have received any comments or complaints.
But we know we have an issue down there.
Oh, we definitely have an issue, and it needs to be addressed.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why we're here today.
Yeah, yes. And I guess I'm wondering if it kind of needs to be stated that what we talked about Monday was, you know, there are repairs that need to be done to the tower, lighting and the antenna being misaligned, and that their tower crews are climbing because of safety concerns. And so I think we've gotten here, just to reiterate, because there's some relatively minor repairs that need to be done, but unwillingness to climb a tower due to safety concerns.
Right now, at least that you're aware of, we've had one company or maybe multiple companies that said they will not climb it.
Right.
So right now, we don't have anybody that has come forward and said, we will climb it.
Yes.
That's
yes.
where we're at.
Yes.
And
just
the antenna can't continue to hang sideways.
Is it just one company, or did we get a hold of any other companies?
I've had a verbal from two. And there aren't a lot of tower companies.
Is it just they want an inspection on the footing, or?
It was the one is one I would say was just their own personal opinion. That would be Skytop Towers. That's been a few months ago. I had that conversation. Then I started working with Capital Tower, and theirs was based on the structural analysis that was done by the state, the company that the state hired. And they questioned the footings then, but still, the structural analysis shows a problem with the steel in the tower,
A conversation I had since Monday with Capital, it's like if it's a pipe tower, not an angle iron tower, so there's no fixing that in between. So anyway, and again, then the next thing I was going to say upon that is, you know, as a county, you're kind of like not willing to spend, throw good money after bad to make any remedies.
And because they don't go up and take a 10-foot section out, is what you're saying, and put a new 10-foot section
right.
in.
Right, we don't,
that
lift,
don't
up,
work.
Lift up 400 yeah. feet and take out a piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then and now we as a board or as a county, we're fully aware of the fact that that tower is 40-plus years old, maybe pushing 50, and that we've gotten a lot of good use out of it over the years. It served us well, but and also age is catching up with it.
Right. So that's for those that haven't been through this conversation, that's how we've gotten to where we are today. I guess then I think what I viewed was felt like I was asked to do is get some budgetary pricing for what it would cost to put in an additional repeater, and then we may take that times two or three. To provide the coverage necessary for the various departments in the south half of the county. With that, then what? And this is something that is more of an outline that I've sketched out, different prices that I've gathered. But to go end to end with a P25 digital capable repeater that is really more building for the future, including the equipment that would need to go in at dispatch. And there may be some question there with who pays for that. Just over $27,000.
What is that P25? Where's that?
That's we're gonna digital.
But where would that be located at, or not, or I mean,
it is a P25 is a format of digital transmission.
You're talking just in the dispatch, or are you talking this out in one of the locations?
So the repeater would be P25 digital capable, as well as the control station at dispatch to talk to it.
Okay.
So anyway, that includes a repeater, new antenna, coax, antenna standoff, all at the tower, and lightning protection, and a tower crew to climb the tower and put it in.
But not on this tower. What are we talking at?
I guess that's my question. This is more of a generic pricing. Like in Odell, existing tower in Odell. That would be the assumed location. I thought what we talked about was we would then have to find proper locations.
Okay.
You know, whether we go on the water tower in Wymore, maybe something in Barnston.
Yeah. Some of the equipment may be usable at the Blue Springs Tower to put out on the water tower, if that.
And yes, so there's a number of variables. The repeater that is in place in Wymore now could be reused, and then all you need is the antenna and the tower crew and
at that site. But this is more like if we went at Barnston or Odell. This is a proposed
starting from scratch using
okay.
The one at Blue Springs is an analog repeater, though?
It is analog only, yes.
And that's something we kind of wanted to get away from while we're... I mean, I'm asking you. I guess that's not me saying.
That's the progression that everyone is taking, yes.
So,
the
caveat I'll throw in there with that is the repeater that I've priced here is $16,000. That portion of it is $16,000. It appeared that I can configure that as an analog repeater, and it will be able to be upgraded in the future when the departments are capable of moving to digital. And I think that made it about a $5,000 swing. So this is kind of the top end of where you want to get to, starting with nothing.
Well, I need to say that, Carla, we always had high expectations for you and find out you can't climb that tower.
No, I have to draw the line somewhere.
That's high expectation.
I believe it is on record that Monday Eric said he would if we gave him a harness.
I still think I'll do it.
Whatever we need.
Roger said he would do it, too, but it had to be, how do you call it, certain...
certain
flat.
Number that would come to mind would probably be with my wife setting that number.
I'll do it if it's flat.
You would if it's flat, huh? Yeah. Well, we've already had an offer to take it down pretty reasonable, so that's not...
I guess my thought is, what are we really looking at here, though? I mean, are we looking at, now we have an idea, 27,000 plus to basically equip Odell the way we think it's going to need to be done to provide enough coverage over there. But what are we looking at Blue Springs then, or what is the thought process there?
And that's something that we will... Honestly, we need more time to
to
really, and I say that because sometimes I think, well, we've kind of been talking about this for 2 years.
Yes. I know we have, but what we have off and on, but we really haven't ever tried to come to a decision. I'll just say that, and now we're at a point where we really need to make a decision.
Yeah. Right. What I need to do, or we need to do as a company, is get information about that tower in Odell, so that I can run coverage maps for it. Basically, I need longitude, latitude, antenna height, those kind of things.
Right.
Easily obtainable, just to need to ask a few questions. We can run coverage maps to find out what kind of coverage we get there. We may need to do the same thing in Wymore for the water tower there, and then any place we could possibly be in Barnston or whatever there. And then evaluate, okay, where do we put these?
Where do we put these, and what's our next...
To get the adequate action. Coverage with the fewest amount of repeaters in place, Philly is also coming off of that south tower, but can we move them to one of the north towers?
Will we get the right coverage with this type of proposal? Will we get enough coverage with them, and how will that work?
Yeah. Right, and with Pickerel buying new radios, would it be feasible to have a third newer one up? That's what we'll need to, you know.
Equipment can be shuffled, so Philly and Pickerel both will be digital capable. So
right, because they've already purchased the radio.
We also have a tower laying on the ground in Adams yet that could be stood up somewhere.
About 180, 150 or 180 foot one. And
depending on where you place it.
The reason why it didn't get put up at Adams was because it was just going to be put up, and then we found out to do the right base and to get the approval for the base, that was like $18,000 plus for all the work for that. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's still laying on the ground at Adams. It never got put up there. Okay. You don't just go and let's pour a couple little things and put it up. The right, is that what you guys kind of remember?
Yep.
I thought it was around $18,000 or $18,000 plus to put the base, to put the tower up there.
Right. I would believe it.
Yeah. One quick thing I'll throw out then. You know, we're talking about maybe putting a repeater down at Barnston, and what you guys were just talking about, you know, with Pickerel or whatever, is there a place in Virginia or one of those towers over by Virginia, or is there somewhere else then that we can still get the coverage at Barnston and maybe get enough coverage at Philly? I don't know. I'm just...
NRD towers.
That is, when we run into these kind of things, that's always part of the equation. That's always interesting because you know finding out where towers are that you don't know that they're there. You don't know if you can get on them.
And Lisa's checking into the cell tower too to see if we can get on that.
No. I tell you, it's
rent free.
There used to be a tower in Virginia that it's got to be probably as old as the Blue Springs one, but
there's a Verizon one that just went up about a mile or two north of there lately. In the last year or two, we approved. And stuff, but no, the one right north of Virginia, that's at least as old as the one in Wymore.
I think co-op owns it.
Virginia. One is the co-op is the only operating one there, and then as far as their antennas on there, otherwise when Verizon put that particular tower up, and that has been since our zoning. So one of the zoning provisions that we have written into our regs is that they have to provide radio coverage at no cost to us, and we always tried to bring that up.
Not radio coverage, but radio
space
for coverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping, right now we are checking into the one down by Blue Springs, and that one didn't go through county zoning. It actually went through the city municipality.
But Callan is checking on that with Mike Willett and also Andy Carruthers to go back through the minutes and see if that one would be doable, because that is at the highest elevation down there.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then that might be an option for us, since we do have the card we could play at Milk House. It's worth a try.
So where we're at today is then we're looking at more time. You gave us an idea of what, if we're going to end up putting one out in Odell or Barnston, what an approximate cost there, plus whatever the antenna might be or could be. But we're still needing to have, hopefully in a couple weeks, or I guess I'll say this, you'll come back in a couple weeks and give us a report where you're at maybe. Or
I might suggest that, that Carla and Lisa and I look. We work to identifying some towers,
yep.
Identifying where we could put this equipment. I guess based on you now know the approximate cost, and that's the direction you want.
Well,
to
if you
forward.
If you went $27,000 twice there, if this is what's going to be an added cost, and now it's what's the cost going to be of moving stuff off the Blue Springs Tower, and where will that be located at then?
That's all new stuff, Meyer, and there wouldn't be anything moved off the tower if I...
Well, no, not the tower, the base, the equipment out of the base.
Even the equipment in the base is new in that, right?
Okay.
In that 27?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but
so
one thing we also need to take into account, we had, and I don't remember exact bid, we had a bid from, or an estimate from a year or two ago from a new tower down there was 200 and, any remember what it was, 225 maybe or something?
At least that had a quarter bit.
217,000, but that was back then, so the steel probably has gone up or whatever. But if this is this project here is going to cost us X number of dollars, what is a we really need to know what a tower is going to be there, or putting that back up too. So because we know what kind of coverage we get there.
So. Is it 27 twice for an additional repeater? Because the stuff of the dispatch is just a one-time thing, right? If you put up multiple repeaters out there?
You need for in dispatch, you need a radio for each repeater that you're going to
Each talk. Repeater.
But that, the radio is not 27.
That's no, it's
not.
That's in it, the whole gamut. Again, with the radio dispatch and the repeater being P25 capable.
That's included. The dispatch equipment then is included in this price?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's
what John's saying is you wouldn't need equipment in the dispatch if you did two of them. You wouldn't need extra equipment.
Well,
the second one would be a little cheaper because you said in this the dispatch equipment was included in this.
You need one for each.
You need one for each.
Yeah.
There you
but
go.
But it's included in the 27.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So again, I guess I thought what I was asked to do was kind of bring an idea of what it was going to cost, mm-hmm. so we know whether this is the direction we want to proceed. And so, yeah, we'll look for locations to put the equipment. We'll run coverage maps to be able to project.
And I guess part of what we'll try and do, maybe we'll, John, visit with some more down there and stuff, or we'll visit with some affiliate, and I guess how much we definitely need to proceed with this, but to make sure that we're not losing enough coverage of communication where we put this on a fast track or what where we're at with that. I mean,
right.
I'm sure people, there was an article in the paper, so once they read about this, they're going to be letting you know if there is more and all of that, and so that we maybe have an idea of how quick to proceed or
right.
We're not going to take 2 years, let's put it that way, but we know we have a bigger issue than that.
Well, and I don't know if this puts your mind is it minds at ease at all, but let's say that tower falls down tonight. We as a company would scramble out, grab that repeater, move it over to the probably off the top of my head, we'll probably move it over to Odell. There's the tower there. There's an antenna there. We could plug it in and get functioning somewhat there. We have our tower here in Beatrice. We've got a repeater there that. Program a whole bunch of radios and reprogram them and put that information in there. And there are things we could do to give some kind of coverage. It may not be ideal, but something to you guys wouldn't be dead in the water until we got a new tower built or whatever. We could make things happen. pretty quickly.
Well, good enough. I guess that unless if anybody's got more questions, ask them. Otherwise, in a couple weeks or maybe committee meeting or maybe board meeting, try to give us an update, I guess.
We will focus on that, and I'll let Carla get that scheduled when it's a good time to come back.
Keep in mind that little tower. I mean, that might be something you could stick on a hill, I mean, for lack of technical terms. But, I mean, if you could.
What is the origin of it?
It was a well.
Which one? The one at Adams?
Yeah, the one at Adams.
It came from. Did it come, Galen? Did that come from a highway department, or where did Mark get that from?
Wayne Lineweber's tower.
Oh, Wayne Lineweber.
He bought it used on a sale somewhere, so I'm not sure. It's a standalone tower, though. Maybe 150, 200 feet.
Somewhere in there. I was thinking 150, 180 or something.
How long has it been laying on the ground there?
Well, it's
a couple years.
Yeah, it's sitting up. I mean, it's not.
It's been more than a couple years. I mean, I think it was there
maybe
5 years ago.
Well, but it's on board, so it's not. One side isn't laying in the dirt. No, when they brought it up there, they put it up on boards and stuff like that. So,
like I say, it's a little standalone tower. It's nothing. It's nothing like a 500-foot tower, but
even if it could be a little booth somewhere.
Yeah, if memory serves me correctly, I think. I was thinking there was a tower in Barnston, and now that you've talked about that, I think it was because Mark had mentioned, we've got a tower we could put in Barnston, and I think that's the one he's talking about. But there's an idea. Yeah, you put something up there.
We've got the water tower, too, in Barnston.
Is there one? Okay.
Well, thank you. And we'll we mentioned that. Now, committee meetings is not going to be. The next one would be on January 1st. It will be the 29th. We will be having that on a Friday.
Okay.
Because our regular scheduled committee meeting would be the date of January 1st. So committee meetings will be the Friday. So if you got something then, great. If not, our next meeting is January 3rd. Yeah.
Okay.
That's next Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You ready to go with the culvert bids?
Yep. I'd recommend accepting low bid from Contact, $66,570.50.
Make a motion to approve. Recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion by Juergens and a second by Hill to approve Contact's low bid of $66,570.50 for the three culvert projects. And these are all on our one-year plan, and these were planned on getting done. And now our hope is to order this, have it sometime here early spring, and that we can install it then. The county will install all three of these.
Yes, correct.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 in favor. Next up on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove state bid purchase on motor graders for the highway department. I think our Travis is here with Cat. So,
Travis Boyle with Cat out of Lincoln.
Yep.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Cat. What does that stand for?
Caterpillar.
Okay. Speak up. Come on.
Caterpillar.
Advertise a little bit.
Caterpillar.
And you were down Monday, and we had some discussion.
Yeah, we were here Monday. Discussed it. A lot has happened in the last day. We got our inspector Andy Wood was able to go around to your three graders that we discussed, your 140Hs, and he was able to do an appraisal on all three of them, and therefore I was able to come back and get hard numbers for you guys about how much it would cost. And this quote obviously is good this year. I mean, this pricing is good this year. And
this year, and you mean until January 1st or
yes.
January 3rd you're looking at? No, you're looking
at. Well, I'm talking December 20, well, 31st.
Okay.
To make a decision on this, because then there's a price increase the first of the year. But that will lock in this price. And, you know, when we have graders, I think we might have one grader sitting, and then we have a couple trickling in January. I can't guarantee it. There's a lot of moving parts that need to happen, but this will secure your pricing. Let me hand these out. I hope I printed.
Thank you.
Okay, so the sales price is a. If you see it, flip to the back page. It's $232,500. And below that, we listed all three 140Hs.
Oh, okay. That number right there.
With the trade-in.
So that's just the sale price, and just to make sure, you and Galen have visited, and the equipment that we want this is a state bid, but then there was certain equipment you could add or subtract or whatever.
Yeah, this
however.
Is a,
and you visited with Galen, so these Galen are equipped then how you've looked at and wanted?
I haven't had a chance to look at this yet.
Perhaps. Oh, you haven't had a chance to look at that yet.
No, I just got this just like you did.
But those, if you make changes or we make changes to it, then those have a corresponding price or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is typically equipped, specced out in Nebraska
okay.
of, you know, and if you want to add like an extension or something later, you know, that would, like a blade extension or,
okay.
or
that
whatever.
Would
but
on.
this does have the front lift group like we talked about, your cold weather plus package, which is your heated mirrors, heated the block heater, it's just for, you know, cold weather like Nebraska. It does have the stable grade like we discussed with that takes the bounce out of the machine. The standard blade 14x27x1. Yeah, I mean, it's a base plus two, so it has valves to the front for the lift group, and it has a valve to the back so you can run a drag. But anyway, your three, back to the front, your three trading values are listed below. And then I felt like, you know, in the future, the parts credit would be a big deal to this county. And so I was able to bump that up. I was able to get it at $20,000. And what our parts credit is, parts credit per machine. So a parts credit goes onto your account. It does not expire. You can use it for anything, Caterpillar, parts, service, whatever you want. And it just goes on your, you know, blades, filters, service. And this grader also includes a 5-year, 5,000-hour premier warranty, which includes travel time and everything.
You said a 5-year?
Yep, 5-year, 5,000-hour premier warranty. That's what you guys have right now on your...
Now, when you say premier...
Includes travel time.
That's basically bumper
to bumper. Bumper to bumper, yep. Okay. Just like you guys have in the past.
The ones we've had work done on, then we must have been past the 5 years, or...
I don't know which one.
Well, you're past 5,000 hours. I think you had like
18,000. Yeah, we are. We're past
15,000.
I didn't think five years we were, but 5,000 hours we are.
Three times over, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about the M's.
Based on the year.
Special ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, these. Do you guys have any questions for me? Thus far,
you got Galen, and Matt's looking at it there too. But we Galen gave us a list of our what the county currently has for motor graders, and we have 8 that the county has motor graders. And he gave a list of years and hours, and the highest one has a little over 18,000 hours.
The three we were looking at is the one at Adams with 18,000 hours, and the one that's moved as a spare. 15,400, or the one that's at Wymore, 14,800. And the reason for this was, I guess I better backtrack a little bit. Galen's had equipment in his list, a patrol in his list, probably for the last 3 years, and they've always been pulled. Thinking we had more important things to do. When I got these hours, 18,000 hours, a lot of hours on a patrol. Two things, after discussion with Travis, this parts credit is probably a big deal. There's going to be an increase in the machines. And... every year we wait to do a trade, we're going to get more depreciation on the equipment we have now. Not to say expense that these probably three will be staring at added expense because of age and or, usage on them.
Or so. Parts failure. I mean, you have a major component failure. And
yeah. So that's what brought about this discussion.
And to explain a little bit over here, the top price there is if you bought one, and then the three that we had them, since they were going to come down and give us a trade-in price on one, he's looked at those three, and then basically
we
it's
can
our
choose
option
which
one we wanted to trade in. We wanted a value on all three of those so that as we're making a decision, we could decide that we want to trade this one, that one, or that one, or whatever we want
now,
to trade.
Travis, on top of this price that's up there, the 232.5, does that actually mean that 20,000 would come off of that yet then? Or we could
no,
use
it's,
that?
No, it's 232.5, and then that $20,000 will go onto your account.
Okay, so actually, I mean, if you look at it that way.
So if you look at it that way,
that
it's down to
212,000.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's just.
But our price after trade-ins would be $75,050.
Well, in order for me to show you your guys' trade-in values on this quote and in our system, I had to list out all three trades. So your price, just look at that top number, 232.5, and then the bottom where it says trade-ins, that's the value in your trade. So you can pick and choose what you want to trade.
We'd be $182.8 if we traded that. This first one. These are three different
49.7. So yeah, but I'm saying if we did all three. Okay.
Well, if you traded all three of them for one machine.
He's showing it that we're taking all three and trading them in on one machine, and then that's what that net value of $75,000 will be. Well, that's we're not going to trade in three of them. We can't. Okay. No, and only buy one or whatever. I mean, we have to look at what we need in the county.
I was being optimistic. I thought we were getting three machines.
Yeah. So
you were looking at a Merry Christmas, weren't you?
Yeah. Bart's credit, though. Is this the first time you guys have done this?
It was last year and this year. It's a length of ownership program. I'm sure it's going to go to next year, but there's no guarantee. CAT hasn't released what programs they have coming out next year. It could totally change. We might not have the parts credit next year. What I do know is there is a 3% price increase in graders.
January 1st.
January 1st.
I talked to Gary about that last night, and he asked why there was a parts credit, and I said, I don't know. CAT does undercarriage credits sometimes where you get free labor. I mean, just like
a program.
It's special.
Yeah, it's just like if you're buying a Ford or a Chevy, the rebates. It's just a program CAT has right now.
Well, part of what we've talked about is, you know, we've definitely talked a lot about trading or purchasing one new one and maybe trading one. Part of what we talked about, too, though, Monday and out at Kearney when we visited with Travis a little bit is this a time where we should do two? That we don't know. That's something we have to make. Well, no, we're not. Eric says three. Yeah. You know, I mean, and that's why we also, though, had all of these. We wanted a price, what our trade-in allowance would be, that we wanted that. Now we know where the price is to start with. We can also, I think we're all aware of the fact that basically that $20,000 spark credit over the life of that machine, the next so many years, we're going to take full advantage of that and get our $20,000 back off of that.
Well, Myron, and that doesn't have to go on that machine.
No, it can go on any
parts.
Any CAT equipment.
Any CAT equipment.
Yes.
And we've got other things that, you know, that will be used. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Then part of what we did talk about, too, was funding. And I know Matt wasn't here Monday, but we talk about funding. Where will this come out of inheritance? Or we also had quite a bit of discussion of, for now, if we did two, what about the possibility of taking one out of, I call it the road and bridge budget, and how does that affect that, and how does that affect the whole thing there, or whatever. But I want to go back to the number that Eric had there. You had, if we took that price and we traded in the top trade-in, what was yours?
182.8. And then if you, I mean, realistically, dollars and cents-wise, you take the 20,000 off for parts credit, and then that puts you at the 162.
You're really trading for 162.8.
In dollars out, it's still the 182.8.
That's what we'd have to lay out as a county. And if you did two of them, I didn't do the math on the second one then, but you're less than that. You're 170-something and stuff. So, you know, I mean, if you did two of them, so that's what you're looking at taking out of inheritance or out of the highway department's budget.
Yeah, and I think I'm thinking the one and one because, you know, you'd have the 182, but the highway department would be getting the parts credit on both of them. So, in effect, you know, that one would be costing them $142,000 because that $40,000 will get spent pretty quick in parts.
When you can look at it that way, John, you're right, because the highway department in the future years – that will be savings on the budget.
Yep. And this will never, that parts credit doesn't run out, correct?
It doesn't expire.
Never expires.
That's a big deal.
At the time, as we spoke, in Galen's budget, a lot of things that he asked for were taken out because of cost constraints. I think he's budgeted, Galen, in your equipment line, what was in your budget, do you remember?
$150,000 is what I
said. But with that being said, with all this new heavier equipment we're getting to move around, his number one thing he'd like to see was a triple axle detachable trailer to move equipment around with something better than what we got. And truck, whatever. But with that being said also, I don't believe we'll see prices like this again, probably. I would like to have Galen review the trade-ins on this and get rid of the two he'd like to get rid of and buy two new ones and trade in two to his whichever two. Now, and you don't have to decide that now, Galen. I mean the trade-in part of it. Well, I mean the purchase we do, but as far as the trade, we could that could come later because it's all right down here on paper. What's everything's worth?
Yeah, I just need to know what you if you guys approve or not. I just have to have that answer by the end of December, and then you guys can tell me whatever.
I guess looking at it, I feel I've looked through some results, and I feel we're getting a fair trade in value on these machines. So.
And like you said, 18,000 is a lot of hours on a machine. 15,000 hours is a lot of hours on a machine.
Well, the rule of thumb is on that I've heard was 20,000 hours, you better be looking doing something with the engine.
And that's if things went well.
Yeah.
And Travis has got these listed by serial number as far as the trade-in, but the way by year, the top one is Adams, and the second one is Wymore, and the third one is the spare grader, if the years are right.
You said the second one is Wymore?
Right. Is that what your recollection is, Travis?
Yeah. So you had one that's 18-some thousand hours. That's got to be the top one. And the next two, they were pretty similar to 15,000-some-odd hours.
Yep.
It does list the year on there. You can go by the years if you want to compare to what we had. Which ones you're looking at there? Because the second and third one were flip-flopped.
Yep.
What's the frequency that we use the spare?
Quite a bit, actually. We use it when one of our others is down. We use it a lot of times in the summer when we're covering the, I call it the old Dell route. We double up with our dirt crew machine. And we run routes in the wintertime. When we do get snow, there's always an operator. We send them all out on that. And the spare goes out into the worst areas and assists opening roads in the worst area. So there's quite a bit of use out of the spare machine. It comes in very handy.
Just to entertain the idea for discussion, what if we did buy two? How much cheaper does that price get, that $232.5, or is that bottom dollar for per?
That with the length of ownership program, just like any other county, we're on a governmental discount. We do the same no matter what, whether it's one, two. It's the same price that we're allowed. We can't bump it up. We can't take it down. It's a flat rate.
But it's a discounted rate.
Yeah, it's a governmental discount rate, absolutely. Yeah, if a contractor...
The only way they have to submit that so that you guys don't have to technically bid it. You can use the state...
Right, and it's on the state bid, so it's pre-negotiated.
They've already done the dealing to get to that.
It's a pre-negotiated rate.
By the state.
I'll put it this way. If a contractor like yourself would buy a brand new one, this machine would be $100,000 more. I mean, the governmental rate is significant... Let alone the state bid.
It's a good rate, yeah. I mean, it's
because I'm a stinker and I always try to go cheap here. So how's that John Deere been working for us?
The John Deere? It's actually been a very good machine.
So So what's the John Deere price compared to this? Is the John Deere price better than a state bid?
It's 10. If you take in, we talked about that Monday. If you take into account the $20,000 parts allowance, it actually costs more than the 10, rough numbers, 10 grand more, if I remember right.
Weren't they like at 222 or so? We're going to be 212.
You had that discussion.
Yeah, and then the other thing that, I mean, for selling these, I mean, you do have to look at resale values. And Travis had said 10 to 15, I think that's probably a very conservative difference in values when you go to trade or resell them. Cat really has the blade market.
And I'd like to challenge you to look at a 2001, 2002, 2003 John Deere grader and find one with that many hours out there. Let me know what you find.
But that also doesn't mean that the 2017 John Deere won't last that long.
I can't answer that. I just know, you know.
Or that the cats will be as durable as they've been in the past.
Right. Can't answer that either, but history is showing over the years.
They will.
What's our annual parts expense, Galen? I mean, right off the head, what do you think?
Put in earlier.
Ballpark estimate.
That Dawn knows really quickly.
$100,000 to $150,000 off the top of my head. Now that's for equipment and everything. I mean, motor graders and trucks and everything.
I don't think I have.
And this also includes blades, right?
Yeah, you use cutting edges.
Yep,
you can use it forever.
Yep.
Anything.
Wait, you mean the machine or?
No, the parts credit includes blades.
Where you code it out of? What you would be coding it out of?
Yeah, as long as you order it through us, you can buy whatever you want. Is you know, buy your DEF fluid from us if you wanted in bulk.
Which control was it that we had all the engine problem with? There was a manufacturer's issue. That was a 2000.
There's two of them. Neither of them were out of this group.
Those were 140 M's.
There was an M and an M.
This was the one that we had to hold the motor and all that. And they did.
Not these.
No, I know which one. So it's none of the ones we're getting rid of.
A couple of these down here.
No, there was an M.
Today's 1400, Don.
There was a 140 M.
Today's 1400 is road equipment repair.
I thought there was an M2 also, but Galen thought they were both M's.
80,000.
Is all the problems solved with that one?
1400 here.
Yeah, this is a little different machine.
This is a different engine.
I know that.
The other one.
The point
is
all the problems with that. Yes. Are we going to eat up this 20 grand on this machine that we bought that we've had problems with since we bought it?
That issue is solved.
Okay.
Was there two of them that we lost engines on?
Yeah, but part of it was there was a hose that wasn't attached, and that was on you guys.
That one Cat completely took care of. Then the other one. There was a plastic piece. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it wasn't
good.
I'm
just stirring the pot. That's all I'm doing.
Travis is our rep here. When we were talking about that the one day, I actually talked to him about it. And it's like, what's the deal with this piece? You know, everybody's angry about it.
Other equipment.
But these are a completely different engine, series.
These are the...
Yeah.
Yes, because this is more horsepower. And this is a C, I believe it's a
C9. That's the only one that we can.
Here's the spec. If you guys want to see specs, I only printed out four, but I got spec sheets here.
I'd read it.
I haven't done that for a while.
Yeah, I think that's the only one we can find.
Well, we must see 9.3 CAD engine.
This is a. This time too, Matt. They went. They rolled over to interim.
The year before,
interim diesels, where they were still running the EGR gases back through the engine more. This would be an SCR system where it's the urea injection and.
But I spent $7,400.
Tier 4 final.
It's the new style.
English.
New style.
And you understand every bit of that, Matthew, right?
It's a joystick, right?
It's a good round tire.
Yeah, it's just this is a joystick control operated.
Is this a Komatsu engine?
I know. Okay.
It's all made in the United States, isn't it?
See, if you bury somebody dialogue, then they just give up.
I was out of the room there.
Yeah, Little Rock has a plan.
If we went with two, did you decide which two to trade in?
No, but that could be done at a later date.
That could be determined later date. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's what he said.
How much is
basically your bid would lock in, or your motion would lock in these numbers?
These numbers. Okay.
You could adjust it based on what you traded.
Like 80 okay. 70 gallons a day.
Okay. Well, I think we're to the. I think we're at the point. Well, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, Matt, but just so we get to a bottom number here, just okay. Arguments, and I'm just going to use round numbers because I like them. Yeah. 233,000.
Like in the winter, if we're pushing.
Times two. 466. We're going to give ourselves because we believe it's usable credit for the 40,000 because it'd be 20 per machine, right, for the parts. So then we're down to 400, what's that, 426, and then a trade roughly, if we trade two of them.
100,000.
102.
Looking at 100,000.
So it's 100,000, so 326,000 estimate, and if this machine wasn't on state bid, and if some butts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas all year long. I get it, but what's a non-state bid retail price estimate ballpark? I know I'm not going to hold you to it.
I'd 240.
How much?
Probably 240.
So 240. So for so it would be 480. So two machines with a savings of roughly what is that? 25%.
The only other thing we talked about on these would be there's a significant fuel savings on these now compared to the old model or the like the M2s or the M1s, let alone compared to the H's. So, I mean, you could save just really roughly guessing a couple thousand gallons per machine a year.
So 323,000, and where, Supervisor Juergens, are you proposing this money comes from?
You got your checkbook?
we have
the discussion
the
was one from Galen's budget. He's got 150 appropriated for machinery. Other one from inheritance.
In the past, we've done some of those NACO leases.
And we I know, and I did inquire. I got an email, but I didn't get a reply back to know what the lease amount was. You have an interest.
Yes, we do cap finance. We can do it 2 to 5 years. It's around the governmental rate is around the 3.2 to 3.5 range, somewhere in there. I can't tell you what it's going to do at the first of the year, but that's what it is now.
I mean, the only thing would be, I mean, we may erode any savings with that big. We may erode any savings pretty quick, but if we try to stretch that out. But I know we've done that in the past from a budget standpoint, if we wanted to contain that all within his budget. But yeah. Sounds like Juergens figures out how to spend the money anyway.
I'm good with one and one.
I'm done.
I'd like to make a motion. We would purchase two of the motor graders that we have the paperwork on and trade in two of the three with Galen's discretion on which two he wants to get rid of.
Are you going to trade in for sure? Or are you going to trade in for sure, or are you going to look at the auction?
No, we're going to trade them for sure.
Trade them for sure.
Okay.
Motions to trade.
Okay. Yep.
With two trades.
Can we like the house, go through and strip everything out of them that we want? Do you just want the frame?
You can take the hitch.
Can we salvage?
And whatever you have inside the cab.
Front lift group?
No.
Also,
can we trade the bus stop in on this?
Nope. At the same time, the snow plow hookups and everything, he was asked about that. Everything will match. We've had some problems in the past with stuff not matching.
Data delivery.
So.
So basically, you're referencing the bid, state bid that he quoted you.
Yep. Well,
the motion should be so that you got the number that helps you guys lock in that price.
Right. That's as long as you have an agreement this year that locks in the price.
Your company might want to, it's a little loose as far as what you actually accepted. we want to take, if the motion passes, we want to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly, because next year it goes up 3% per grader.
Exactly.
You said something about delivery. When we talked on Friday, we had five available. Well, I sold two, and I can't tell you what's going on throughout the state. I think there's one left in our fleet, and then we got a couple coming in January. On the safe bet, it'll probably be January by the time you get both of them. Safe bet, but there you could maybe get one this year.
Here's a question for you. I mean, this is a real question. These trade-in units, we'll give you those as soon as we get the new units.
Yes.
Once the deal's made, they're going to continue to put on hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if we have a big snowstorm and you have to put 100 hours on the grader, well, it is what it is. We agreed to the price on them. We gave you the trade-in value.
The trade-in is, that's what it is today, and they know we're using it until we get the new one.
And if there's some major problem, there's no change, it's still,
it's what it is. It's agreement.
That's a trade-in. So that's when you trade them
in. Run the tar out of whichever ones you're going
to. So I'll expedite to get
John,
you.
John had a question here.
Well, and Terry, you're proposing to take one out of Galen's budget and one out of inheritance.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Motion is to purchase two new ones at the state bid price of $232,500, and then two out of these three ones that they inspected, we will trade two of those in. The financing will come one from inheritance and one out of Galen's lines in the budget.
And you know which two you're trading, Galen?
Pretty close. I think it'll probably be the top two. The one for Adams is number one, and I believe we'll go ahead and let we call it the spare. I kind of talked to Bill a little bit, and he thought we'll probably let the spare go.
That's on your sheet. On this sheet, what we he has here for bids, the bottom two numbers, your second and third one here are turned around over here on the sheet he gave us. If you look at the years, you went 2001, 2002, and 2003. He's going 2001, 2003, and 2002.
Right.
So it'd be the 01 and the 02 that you're thinking, correct?
You're going to trade the 01 and the 02.
Right now I'm thinking the 01 and the 02.
Okay.
And the 02, the way I got it listed on mine, is what I call the spare right now.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
You need to make sure it's appropriate with the numbers and the serial numbers and what you're talking. Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to check the numbers.
Okay, we have a motion by Jergen and a second by Hill. Sorry, no.
Last comment. So we're looking, and I guess it has to be an estimate, roughly $365,000 for two because the other's a credit, so we'll still have to pay it. So it's just...
Yep.
We can't. I mean, I think we can conceptualize the fact that it'll be $40,000 less because we'll be using it in parts. But we should say it's going to be around $360,000.
The one we will pay $182,800 with the first trade, and then if we're trading that bottom one, the 2002, then you're looking at $177,750. If I did my math right, did you do that, Matt?
I don't think that's right.
That
doesn't sound right. It'd be a couple thousand more than that. Still
$180,000. Yeah, you are right. I impose my numbers here. Sorry. The one will be $182,800
right.
To trade the 2001. And then if you trade the 2002, you're looking at $180,000. Okay.
That's right.
I impose my numbers there. Sorry. So Matt is right. $362,000.
Not to exceed $365,000. Or, I mean, throw right out of that number, but I've seen Don do math before, and sometimes numbers show up. So,
hey. Matt, I just used your calculator.
Any?
Is that was that on state bid when we purchased those?
Any more discussion?
$362,800.
Any more discussion?
Yeah.
If not, we're ready to vote. Vote 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Travis.
All right, thank you, guys.
And we're going to take a five-minute break. I didn't wait for mine, but we're taking a five-minute break at 10:24.
Okay.
Oh,
we're back in session at 10:29 on the 10:30 on the clock. We're back in from our break. Okay,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to see if we can go to closed session to discuss security outside of the other things we're going to discuss. I'm just based on the seriousness of what I've been told, I'm going to have to leave, but I want to hear that.
We're
can I make that motion to just move down? I know typically we always do that at the end, but
I'd like to.
We do have two things left on our agenda yet, the pickup and the discussion on elected official salaries. But Matt visited with me, and because Matt is going to have to leave here after a bit, we have some people here that we need to visit about with a closed session. And we will go into a closed session, so we'll go back and pick those up after we come out of our closed session. I know that puts a little bit of time maybe on you two or whatever, but we...
I'll make the motion, so it's on me. If y'all don't want to do it, then we won't do it. But.
Second.
But you're making the motion to go into closed session?
Yeah.
Closed session at 10:30 on the clock, necessary for protection of public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And this is for, as the thing says, security. We've had some issues, so... Oh, are we ready?
Yep.
Vote.
You're going to set a record.
Six, zero in favor.
Amen.
And we will come back and have the discussion on those other two things here after a bit.
I think, well, not that one.
Okay.
Entertain a motion at 11:11 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Vote. And 6-0 in favor. Back to our agenda. Discuss and approve or disapprove the state bid for the 2018 Ford pickup for the Highway Department. Aiden?
Okay. This is a 2018 Ford three-quarter ton pickup, 4x4 crew cab, will be purchased through a state bid, and it will replace a 2000 Ford half ton with 230,000 miles on that is currently a mechanic's truck. The mechanics will take the truck I'm currently driving in, and I will take the new one.
And with Monday, we had some discussion on this, too. You had all that information for us and everything, and you tried to go in there and change some things on it maybe and have some equipment you didn't want or something.
Yeah.
And the bid actually came back higher than what the state bid.
Yes, I had talked to the gentleman that actually had the state bid and told him there were certain items that I really didn't need, and he figured up a cost, and there was no cost savings. So I just went with the regular state bid on the pickup.
Make a motion to approve.
To purchase the 2018.
Yep.
Pickup. It was for 31,000.
You might want a number.
Do you remember the dollar amount there, Galen?
$31,948.
$31,948. I have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion by Juergens and seconded by Hill. More discussion? Vote. 5-0 in favor with Bauman having left. Last one up here, put on the agenda, discussion on setting salaries for elected officials. And part of this came about when we were out at the NACO meeting also, then as we ran into different county board members and stuff, we had some discussion on what's your county doing or how is this going on. A little bit is the timeline. This has to be approved. The state says this has to be approved by January 15th of next year, 2018. We only have one more meeting, which is January 3rd. Between now and January 15th. So if we don't approve it at the next meeting, whatever we're going to set the salaries at for the next 4 years or when, not the next 4 years, the 4 years what they would be elected in, we'd have to have a special session, a special meeting to get it done before the 15th. So that's, we put it on here so that we have some discussion. Monday we had some discussion a little bit. Since then I've had some discussion with some other elected officials. NACO did do a salary survey. Not a salary survey or a salary recommendation survey. And that, everybody should have a handout here so that everybody can look at that. They put a committee together every 4 years, and then they come up and list what all the counties have supplied for their information as far as salaries are. It puts you in a category where they, different categories based on your valuation and your population, and then they put you in a category so that you're in a similar grouping. There's we're one of 11 counties. We're in a group called, so-called a group four. It shows the information there and everybody to look at and see where we're at, where to go. I asked Don also to put in there where we are at now. Well, it's in here where we're now, but the last time, well, what did we do?
This spreadsheet here is going to be what it's going to be in 2009 or 18 coming in.
This will be next year's salary.
Yeah, in January. This will be our salary.
Okay.
In January.
The last sheet, the longer sheet there.
That look like we're in good shape then? I mean, looking at that, we're...
That was 2018, but see, everybody's...
We don't set... 2018 salaries are set. That is. But the last, we set 4 years ago. We have to set 4 years again, and partially this is so that as people file for election, they know what... They know what the salary would be the next in their term while they're in office.
The 4 years ago, they did the resolution, and the resolution at that time, and this is excluding the sheriff and the attorney because they have some additional, like 125% of our salaries, or 150 or 60% of our salaries, how they look at theirs. So they look at theirs a little bit differently. But they recommended back in the 15 to 18 salary study that our minimum wage to begin with for gauge, and they actually had that one spelled out, $58,782. Right now, as of January, we'll be basically $100 and some above the minimum is where we're at. So we are ending up where they said we should be starting. That's kind of where we're at.
The attorney and the sheriff, do they actually have extra columns in there or extra room for numbers in their columns?
Sure.
So like their columns are wider than everyone else.
That's not my column. Byron?
One thing I saw in there, I just briefly looked at it.
Yeah.
There was one other county that the chairman made more money.
Uh-huh.
In our case,
he makes more money.
He does.
$1,000 more.
Okay, he should. It didn't show it.
Well, sorry. $1,200.
Well, whatever, but I mean, he should. Because all the extra work that guy does.
Yeah.
Jurgens, let's say you don't make enough more than we do.
Huh?
Let's say you don't make enough more than we do.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with John. He doesn't come close to making
enough. We're not here to talk about what the chairman makes or not.
Well, now we are.
You brought it up.
Well, we are. That's part of what you're setting really here is you guys.
We are sitting
here. And ACO tells you, don't forget that, because what happens is, and I just throw this out to you, look at what your compatriots are as far as across the state and what your responsibilities are. And a lot of times I know the elected officials on board will say, oh, no, just leave it where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, you're way behind the curve. And not being critical, but that happens so quickly because you're only doing it every 4 years.
Right. We're setting this for 4 years. We're also setting what the proposed increase percentage-wise or whatever will be. We're setting the first-year salary, and then we're setting all 4 years, but at whatever increase they will be also.
I was just going to suggest that you go with the state proposed bid out of NACO, like you did with the road grader, and we'll all be happy and go home.
I'll be happy and go home.
Well, and I do think that a lot of the NACO study suggests that board members should be basically half of the elected official's wage. That's what a lot of them do follow.
That's what a lot of them do follow, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don, do you see me as half a person?
Yes, I do.
A quarter. A quarter person. Not a half. You aren't clear up to a half yet.
She just moved you up on the scale then from not. No, but
there's things that you need to look at. The spreadsheet that I gave one that has the comparison with the 2018 wages of the NACO counties, and then the spreadsheet also includes the ranking of what Esalen counties he used for our official or our employees. But it's because that was a
when we did
one
also
request,
that's
so,
one we
yes.
did also when we
Those
when we had Esalen do that we yeah. Part of what I want to bring up, too, a little bit. Remember a little bit how in budget discussion here, and that Matt's not here, but in budget discussion, we did the salary study for that, and we moved some people that were below the minimum, we moved them up to the minimum. Other people that were over what we call the top, there were some people, county employees, that didn't get any raises this year, and so on. I mean, that should, I think, next time everybody be aware of that also, how we did handle that. That don't mean that's how you're going to handle this, but you need to take that into account, too. We will have this on the agenda, and we will hopefully approve this on January 3rd.
what we wanted to do here today, and I've talked to some of the county officials, they've approached me a little bit and visited a little bit about it, is that today we wanted to make sure this all got out there, that everybody's aware of it. Have any questions anybody wanted to ask? Don's here a little bit, can help explain it or whatever, so that
I read through this some. I mean, what are they? They have a minimum and a mean that NACO said everyone should be at countywide, or how'd this work?
What they have a minimum and a high is what they have. Right. It's a minimum and a high, and the difference between those two figures is 19,200. So if you wanted to start at somebody at the very minimum, which would be 59.8, and get them to the high, you'd have to have basically a $4,800 increase every year.
59.8
is the high. If we were going to go to the high.
Is the high. 59.8 is the high?
No, 59.8 is starting. 79,000 is high.
79
is
high.
Top end. I mean, to the other 4 years.
The 59.8 will be the salary that they get in the year 2019. Okay.
And where were the within 100 bucks of the minimum, you're saying? Or roundabout.
Yeah, well, we're not even.
Next year will be
$1.39.
Oh, whoops.
What she gave you on this here spreadsheet, that's our wages we'll get this year.
I missed
take,
the
take so much a percent increase. And
I was off one.
Yeah. Mm. So even if we went to a midpoint, even strive for a midpoint for like five of us officials that fall under that category, midpoint would be 69.4.
Yeah. And I don't know if the press saw this, but what we're setting here is we're setting the wages of the people that are elected. So you have the board. You're also setting to decide if you're going to do a little bit more for chairman. We have the assessor, the attorney, the clerk of the district court, register of deeds, sheriff, and the treasurer.
But
those are the salaries we will be setting.
The clerk, the assessor.
And the survey. The surveyor is elected also, that one. But he's about half of these.
The clerk, the assessor, the clerk of the district court, register of deeds, treasurer.
We have them all the same. You don't have to have. There's nothing in the thing that says you have to have. Most counties have those five the same, though, when you look at it. When you look at it, there's some different. Somewhere in this study, though, and I don't know if you pulled it off, I'm not going to. That there was some county out there that they put in the wrong number. Somebody for what's
404.
Our son was getting $544,000 or $455,000 salary. They forgot to put the decimal in.
I don't think that was in our category. So.
That wasn't in our category.
I didn't see that one.
Well, no, maybe it was, but they put the wrong. They forgot to put the decimal in.
It was somebody's doing well.
It was $450,000. I go, man, everybody's going to apply for that job out there.
That was an assessor out there by Red Willow County that got.
Not that one. Yeah, no, it wasn't that one. In the survey they did, they just forgot to put a decimal in the thing or whatever. It was, you're looking at that and you go, holy smoke. You know, if anybody's got thoughts or comments, next time we're sure entertain them, or today or whatever, don't be afraid to ask. I know we may visit with some more of the elected officials here, the ones that are going to be on here. So between now and...
Do they know we're
I would
talking
tell you
about
that.
This today?
I think they would like to talk to the
how
board.
Much yeah. we were going to talk,
you know,
talk, so.
Just to, you know, convey some sentiment without having it, you know, get contentious, because we do have a good county. The elected officials work well together. And this is always, it's just like, I remember when I did the work with the school, whenever you get into these contract negotiations, it gets a little tense once in a while. But I think they just want to have a little back and forth. Just to give their side of the story, too.
Board Chairman and Wayne, $440,000.
That was it, yeah. $440,000. They forgot a decimal.
Versus their regular board's $44,000.
And I go, boy, that's everybody wants to go to that county.
Yeah, that's his story.
Yeah. Unless that guy's getting it, then we got... Okay, any other questions or comments on it? And we will have that on next... meeting's agenda. Got a couple other quick things here. I got a letter here. Well, this is what Zoe sent out for an email here, and I just kind of dropped it until I was going back here and looking through my emails and stuff. Rex Adams' term is going to be up here at the end of December, and I haven't gone and visited with people or anybody about
who we could have on here as a board member. We're the only county that doesn't have a board member on this board for the Blue Rivers Area Aging Agency on Aging. I'll be visiting with some people, and hopefully by January 3rd, we can have somebody's name on here or whatever.
John wants that job.
John wants that job.
That's what he told me, too. You know, he's kind of replacing somebody from his area, replacing Rex. That way we can.
It took me a while to make up my mind, but I think John would be fantastic. Yeah,
do you want to make a motion to that?
John, a couple of things here, though. They've got the date when their meetings are, okay?
All right.
Our meetings are on the third Monday of odd-numbered months at 1 p.m., so you've got six meetings.
Yep.
Does that work for you? Because we sure will entertain having the appointing you as...
I don't think it works for me.
What?
It doesn't work for me.
Yes, it does.
We take a vote, and it's unanimous that it does.
Well, I think that's kind of a committee meeting that a committee or what one of these here lists up here that the chairman appoints, right? Do we vote on that?
Yes, you do.
We'll have that on consent agenda next meeting then, John.
It's your reorganization meeting will be on January 3rd, so you're going to select a chairman and all that on January 3rd.
Okay.
And
that's
then
all done
the appointments,
too?
Yes, and then the appointments will come, usually it comes the following meeting. Once you select a chairman, then they do your committees. Okay.
The other thing, and I Matt's left, and I don't know if he's talked to Gary a little bit, and Gus is still here. The FOP there, we set up the 27th at 2 o'clock. Is that going to work? I mean, if not, let me know. We're going to change that or whatever. So we're going to make sure. Right now it will work for me so I can replace Matt, but, I mean, I got to make Gary tentatively said it's going to work
the
for him.
The 27th at 2?
Yeah, I know you're having the training at
4. I was just going to say they said that it was closing, so as long as you know.
Well,
that,
no.
Yeah.
What are you doing the 27th?
FOP negotiations.
Oh, 2 p.m.
At 2 o'clock. Will that still work, John? Okay. We'll leave it there for now unless something changes.
Meeting yet first, though. You'll have to look at his schedule.
Who does?
John.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's better than we used to do. Then we just forgot about it. I wish it were recording. Now I do it on my thing too, and stuff because I you just forget otherwise. Anything else? We'll go to the order.
You've already been in close in, but I got the preliminary on the phase one over that bus stop. Everything's fine. And I just brought a summary with me. It's like 380 pages long. Obviously, I haven't read the whole thing yet. But the question they ask, if we're going to consider utilizing those pumps, and I know there was some thinking, but you haven't made any decisions. The only reason I bring that up was they would do some extra testing if you're not going to just close them. But it's not phase one. And so I'll get you some cost estimates for that if you want me to. Otherwise,
I think that'd be good to kind of consult Gary on some, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be
okay. Good to have.
I think
that's fine. I'm not asking for a vote or anything, but we're at that point where if we're going to do something or consider it, I need to get some numbers for you.
I think there's a couple of things we should do. And consult with Gary is one of them. Consult with Galen and find out what it's going to cost us for permits, to use it,
Okay.
And the third would be to look at a contract for our non-county highway employees to gas up at one of the stations in the county, similar to a...
No, what do you say, non-county highway? Non-highway.
No, non-highway.
Like, say, for instance, what you're asking is, should we look at that and have that as a strictly the place where the sheriff's department would fill up instead of, which they currently do or have the opportunity, they fill up at the county's barn right now.
Yep. And instead maybe contract with one of the stations to fill up there, which would be an easier process for them at night and that and... would separate it out from the highway department. And
well, actually, we did that, and it wasn't the best.
But
we did it that way for years. We had to take turns because of the political things. We had to go around every station in town 3 days at a time to fill.
And
we could just have them bid it, though, couldn't we?
We could have them bid it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we started going down there. It was just less hassle for us at that time. I mean, it made a difference. We use Cinex for emergencies if for some reason you can't get down there. I mean, so it's.
Yeah. If I had to guess, the price quotes we've got from down there is damn good price.
Oh, yeah, compared to the pump. Oh, yeah.
If you're going to get a better quote to somebody right at the pump here, I doubt it. You know, there might be a 5% in the end, some type of deal like that, but you're going to pay whatever it says. Well, that's what the program.
But the little bit I have, though, is, you know, we have the bid from SAPS, and I don't know, maybe that bid says they're only going to deliver there. What if we had every so often they brought a load up here, and then we use this strictly for the Sheriff's Department? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what
I see what you mean.
But yeah. The one thing, but I'll ask about Terracon. Your costs for maintaining that.
Then you're maintaining two sets of everything.
You ain't making a profit.
But
you can pass on your costs. I mean,
so in that respect.
I just throw that out because.
In that respect,
sounds
we
good, but
could just as well continue doing what we're doing.
Tell us on the details.
Well, that's the thing. Gary may tell us, hey, you don't even want to. You don't want to get on that.
We'll visit with Gary. We'll get back to you and see.
Okay,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's fine. Yeah. Just let me know and I'll talk to Captero.
Okay.
I mean, if we're going to sell gas, we might as well sell gas.
No, we ain't going to sell gas. We're.
We can. No. And let's get into burgers, too.
You know, if we. And not to pick on them, but you know, the reservations, they don't have to pay certain tax. I don't know what it is or whatever, but if we could take that and keep that here in the county, that'd help pay for, you know. Don't you have somebody working over there that we could claim is?
I just. Are you guys getting all this?
No. Anything else? If not, meeting adjourned at 11:31. Thank you.